dying for us. Why? So we are in continuous remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so we do not become heedless of His bounties and His favor upon us subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, and we also mentioned the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which He has created within ourselves. And of those signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the perfect form that He created us, and perfected our creation from amongst all His creations subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another sign for us in which it should remind us of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are reminded of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should we do? We should be grateful and we should be thankful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time we are grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases us. Now that does not mean if we've got two hands and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two hands is going to give us a third and a fourth. No, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases us spiritually. And of course, in terms of when we give wealth, Allah and we are grateful and we are given wealth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases our wealth. But when we are increased, it's not necessarily something which is physical and something you know you can feel or touch, something which is of property or wealth. Rather, it could be of offspring, it could be a spiritual. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises our rank subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He gives in abundance, and He gives as He pleases. He's not bound by, you know, how He should give us and how He wants to give us subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in the following page showing us and informing us of more of His signs subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. He's talking about subhanahu wa ta'ala a sign in which He subhanahu wa ta'ala carried ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, the offspring, their offspring, فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ, in the vessel which was مَشْحُون, which was filled of people, of animals. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the vessel of Nuh alayhi salam, the safina of Nuh, the ship of Nuh alayhi salam. So He's saying to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a sign for us, He protected our forefathers by transporting them in this vessel, in this ship. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who showed them how to make this ship and how to perfect this ship, because although they did go into this ship and they built this ship, but it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's inayah and His the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it wouldn't have made the slightest difference if they went into the highest of caves, or if they dug a hole in the ground and they went as far as they could. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He can pick anybody out in any place He is, and it's not going to make a slight difference to a person wherever He tries to hide. Naam. وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ. And Allah, before we go on to the next verse, and so Nuh alayhi salam, if you look at the story of Nuh alayhi salam within itself, it's a sign, subhanAllah. Why? Because Nuh alayhi salam, the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, who is known as the second father of humanity. Why? Because Adam alayhi salam was the first father of humanity, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everybody was created from Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam. And then after, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed humanity and saved and chose a few people, and then humanity was began to grow once again. The only forefather that was left in that time was Nuh alayhi salam. For that reason, he is known as the second father of humanity. And the amazing thing about Nuh alayhi salam is that he lived, subhanAllah, 950 years. He lived. You know, can you imagine? You see someone who lives 100 years and you think, subhanAllah, you know. So this in within itself is a sign for mankind to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can give life to who He wills and He can take life from who He wills. But why Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned here in this verse, in this chapter particularly, is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you go back and remember, He was talking about the arrogant people and the people that rejected. And amongst those arrogant people in past civilizations and nations were the people of Nuh alayhi salam, and only a handful of people believed in Nuh alayhi salam, although he lived 950 years. So this is another sign for people not to despair when they see people and they are not accepting the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then we have created for them, i.e. for mankind, similar vessels, like the vessel of Nuh alayhi salam, in which they are transported. So you can imagine that till this day now, how many forms of transport we have. And in those days they only had they never had planes, they had just ships. But today, subhanAllah, we have so many forms of transport. So this in itself is again a mercy, manifestation of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon mankind. Naam. And a sign, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning of the verse, it's a sign for mankind. وَإِن نَشَأْ نُغْرِقْهُمْ فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if we wanted, we could have let them be drowned. If we wanted, we could let them be drowned, i.e. the people of Nuh alayhi salam. And similarly, the way he says, he has made vessels like the people of Nuh alayhi salam, there are people like the people of Nuh alayhi salam, who even up until today, until the day of Qiyamah, will fall into this example. And it's not just some people that are in situations where they are out in the sea and they are about to drown and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them. Similarly, as the story we mentioned last week as well, a person could be drowning in his own sin and committing sin, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants His mercy to come over this person, then He will pull him out of his sin and enter him into His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why we should never despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what we might have committed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is far greater than our sins. Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if we wanted, we could have let them drown. فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ. And there would have been no one to hear their cries, and there would have been no one to listen to them when they were drowning, and they were helpless, and there was no one there for them, and they were shouting and screaming, and we could have وَلَهُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ, and there would have been no one there to save them from their calamity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of people in the Quran where He says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts the people with calamity, what do they do immediately, regardless of what type of calamity it is, and things what we face as well. For example, when we're ill, it's a form of calamity, and it's a form of a weakness which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts upon a human. So what does that person do? He says, oh Allah, save me, oh Allah, cure me, oh Allah, help me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these people, and then when I cure them and when I help them, when I give them money, if they were asking for money, if they were asking for offspring, I give them offspring, they become ungrateful and they forget me and they turn their back. These verses here in the Quran are just here to remind us of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the weakness of mankind and the independence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dependence of mankind. Money, wealth, property, offspring, it can, as the more a person has, the more worries he carries, and the more he's going to be complaining. But the more, and that's why, because he's being dependent on the dunya, he's dependent on what he has from his property. But when he is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he takes care of this person. When he is dependent upon the dunya, upon something which is worthless, regardless of how much he has of it, then that is what's going to take care of him, you know, and that's how much care he will have, you know. Subhanallah. Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if I wanted, I could have left them drowning, and I could have left them in their calamity, and I could have left them in their misery, and they would have been screaming, and they would have been helpless, and no one would have saved them. But إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَمَتَاعًا إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. But except it was for my mercy that I saved them, and if it was not for my mercy, I would not have saved them. وَمَتَاعًا إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. And for a short period of time, they will enjoy and rejoice in this world. You know, although it was like they came to a stage where that was it for them basically, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulled them out of their miseries, but how long are they going to live? At the end of it, they will surely return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us two factors, and two reasons why He saved these people, and why He saved these people. Firstly, His mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says His mercy, He has written His mercy upon everything, and His mercy supersedes everything. His mercy is above everything. And the second reason is that even though He may have saved us, He may have kept us in this dunya, and you know, if He wanted, when we had just sinned, when we had done one bad action, when we had done one bad deed, He could have, you know, that could have been the end of us. He could have got rid of us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy, He has left us in the dunya. Why? Because la'allana, why, maybe we might become grateful, and we might become guided. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the people of Mecca, when they were being arrogant and they were oppressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the new Muslims in Mecca, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what did he say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, if you want, I can, you know, the Jibal of Mecca, the mountains of Mecca, I could crush these people in between the mountains of Mecca, and that would be the end of them. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, no, Jibreel, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring out from their offspring people who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saving us as well, and keeping us on this earth. So the question might arise, you know, people sin day in, day out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leaving them. Why is that? Two reasons. One, because they might return and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, you know, and He will repent, accept their repentance. And other reason is because they may come from their offspring people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the prime example was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, the son of Abu Jahl. You know, look at the example of the father and the example of the son. The earth and sky difference. When Sayyidina Ikrimah came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he repented, they say when he used to recite the Quran, you know, he used to cry, and he used to say, Kalamu Rabbi, Kalamu Rabbi, and he used to feel the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, this is the, you know, the Kalam of my Lord, this is the attribute of my Lord, you know, this is the message of my Lord. And he used to feel this, you know, and feel the happiness within himself. But look where he came from, and look where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him to. Another example of Abu Jahl, and look at who was amongst the, you know, the masters of Mecca, you know, who was considered to be a great person amongst the people of Jahiliyyah. But look where he ended up. And look at, on the other hand, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, who was a slave from Habasha, a slave, you know, and he was oppressed, but he became from the masters, not only of the dunya, but of the akhirah, of the masters of Jannah, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does what He pleases, and He's not bound by anybody or anything in His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. وإذا قيل لهم اتقوا ما بين أيديكم وما خلفكم لعلكم ترحمون. And if it is said to them, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, واتقوا ما بين أيديكم, fear what is in front of you, وما خلفكم, and what is behind you, لعلكم ترحمون, and for maybe you will become, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon you. You know, what does it mean by what's in front of you? It's not necessarily what's in front of you literally, rather what is coming in front of you, you know, and not what's just coming in front of you in the dunya, but what is coming in front of you in the akhirah, something which is far greater than anything that you can possibly imagine that can happen to you in the dunya. You know, you could be walking down the street and a car may come and knock you over, and the worst of things might happen to you. But if a person is disobedient and he is arrogant and he is disrespectful and he is doing bad deeds, then what is going to come to him in front of him in the next life is far greater. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, say, beware of what is coming in front of you. You know, it's far greater, and it's something we should fear. وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ, and what is behind you. And what is behind you? The example of Nuh alayhi salam, the example of Lut alayhi salam, the example of the previous prophets and the perished nations, and what happened to them. You know, when they were in similar situations, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to them? You know, so these nations are a sign for us also, for us to beware and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how would we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By looking at what happened to them and what will happen to us and what will happen to everybody on the Day of Judgment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather everybody. Everybody will be present. You know, it doesn't matter if so and so died 10 years before you or so and so is going to die 10 years after you. Everybody will be present and everybody will be accountable for their deeds, whether they are good or bad. Now, so if we look at these verses, there's something key which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuously reminding us about, and that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supersedes His anger subhanahu wa ta'ala. So man should live between two stages of hope and fear. You know, he shouldn't be on one side of the spectrum and neither on the other side, rather be in between. And so when he does a good deed, when you do a good deed, and when we do good deeds, then we should be worried, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not accept this good deed. But at the same time, we should have hope as well. Have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this deed and will grant us more deeds similar to these deeds and better deeds. And likewise, when we do something bad, when we do something wrong, then we should fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, when we do something bad, then we should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember these examples of previous nations, and remember the examples of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy on people and saved people. And we don't have to go far. We got plenty of these examples in our daily lives, in our own, you know, limited experiences. We have examples of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we might have been crossing the road and, you know, we could have died in that instance, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us. And that was the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had His mercy upon us. We might have ended up in prison. Whether we had done something right or wrong is a different matter, but we might have ended up in prison, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us with His mercy. So we should remember the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we should remember the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. And again, plenty of examples, you know, in the dunya of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He destroys nations and when He inflicts people and punishes them in the dunya. not just in the dunya but also in the akhirah, or rather not just in the akhirah but also in the dunya. Naam.
وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين.
And there does not come to them a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sign from the signs of their Lord, except that they are turning around and turning away from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is showing us the arrogance and the heedlessness of these people. And so it's something for us to beware of. Naam.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ.
I mean, there's plenty, there's plenty to talk about in these verses, but I'm so tired, I can't even remember what his name is, Abdul Hadi, sorry. We've just had a very long weekend, and so you'd have to excuse me if I'm rushing. As you know, or even with the Islam, we had a long conference this weekend, so we've had no break this weekend. Alhamdulillah, you guys have been to school and you've had your weekend break. Naam. But as we mentioned in the last lesson, these verses are mainly concentrating on reminders and pointers for us to stay on the right path and avoid the wrong path. They're not concentrating on ahkam, upon rulings. And as you mentioned, the ayat of ahkam, of rulings in the Quran, are limited, and they are around 500 verses. Of which most of them are actually in the first couple of chapters of the Quran. Naam. So now these people, if it is said to them, anfiqu, spend, give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be telling them to give, to spend? The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them to spend, and at the same time He's telling us to spend, of course, is because when a person spends, when he wrongs himself, and when he wrongs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing wrong and doing mischief, and then he spending is a form of tahara, of zunub, of mercy, of the sins. Spending is a form of purification of sins. And spending is a form of a way of a person to raise himself in his ranks and become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, spending, there's different ways of spending. You could, give openly, and you can give in a manner where your left hand is not aware of what your right hand is giving, And it's funny thing happened to me last Umrah, not this time around. I was walking down and some brother gave me money to give out to the poor people, so I was just like pulling down, it wasn't my money, it was pulling down my pocket, and I had my own money in my pocket, and I was just passing by, and it was Ramadan time, and I pulled the money, I was giving it, and all of a sudden I passed someone, and I had given him the money, and I wasn't looking at these people. I heard someone shouting, like in surprise. I thought, oh my word, what's going on? And he came behind me and dragged me, and I just carried on walking, okay, going like that, it's fine. Then when I get to the end of the door, I realized why he was like in such shock, and he came running after me. I had pulled out 500 riyals and gave him. They expect like 5 riyals, something, or 1 riyal. I'd give him 500 riyals, like in state of shock, but subhanAllah, it was his naseeb, but subhanAllah. So when a person gives this infaq, it's a way of purifying himself, and purifying himself of sins, and of course at the same time raising himself, and it's a very praiseworthy thing to do. And a person, subhanAllah, when we were in Medina, coincidentally, this time, we were sitting in the roof of one of the great Shafi jurists, and mashallah, a very pious person, and he's known for his piety. And if I just tell you what he goes through in his daily life in terms of reading his awrad and reading Quran and stuff, you know, you wouldn't believe me. It's just amazing. Every day without fail for the last 50 years or more, he has to go through a routine where he has to read his, you know, whether it's Quran, whether it's, you know, his daily, you know, hadith and things, and homework basically, awrad. We were sitting in his lesson and he was talking about giving, he was talking about infaq. So what did he say? He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you give even something which is equivalent to a zarra, an atom, something which is even a smaller the atom, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase this atom when he gives you back in tenfold and even more, and he is not even bound by that. So he was say, what did he say to us? He goes, can you imagine, you give someone a date, and how many how many atoms there are in that date, you know? Or even if you give someone 1 riyal or 1 pence, can you imagine how many atoms there are in that 1 pence? So how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasing you just by giving that something which is, to us it means insignificant, or even to the person who is receiving it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasing us, you know, tremendously in abundance. So he gave us a nasiha, he was giving us good counsel, advice. He said, even, you know, every day if you can just give something which even to the which is equal to a riyal, maybe 10 pence, a penny, even something small, you know, it's got tremendous benefit in it. And you know, and when you receive benefit from this, and when we are raised, we are raised, we are raised spiritually, we are raised physically, we are raised in all aspects of our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he works in mysterious ways, and he you know, if we have illness, then through that he may give us shifa for giving sadaqah, you know. So it's not just purification in a physical sense, but it's purification in its entire sense. So it's you know, something which is really important, sadaqah, in you know, it's something which is to the extent which is important to, we should, you know, do this in our daily lives. And another thing he was mentioning was that there's different types of sadaqah. You know, you could give sadaqah to someone you don't know, and you could give sadaqah to someone you know. So he said, which sadaqah is better? Sadaqah for which you give to someone you don't know, or to someone you know? The sadaqah that you give to someone you know is better. Why? Because this sadaqah, this charity that you give to a person you know, is not just sadaqah, but it is silatul rahim also. You know, having good ties with your relations. The Prophet ﷺ commanded us to keep good ties and good links with our relations. And he said in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that good ties and good relations with the Prophet ﷺ is something. And he in the hadith explains it as if it is something which is you know, physical. And he says that it's something which is connected to the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to emphasize the greatness of this act of keeping good relations and ties with our relations, our brothers, our sisters, our uncles and aunts. So when we give a sadaqah to someone we know, someone who is close to us, there is far more benefit and blessing and thawab in that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying that when these people are told to fear Allah وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا, and if these people are told to do infaq, to give, and this infaq is general, you know, it's not necessarily bound by money, could be anything, could be your property, could be something that someone needs, you know, then what's the reaction of these people? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells these people to give from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, He is reminding them that, you know, you might have gone to work and earned this money, but who gave it to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I gave it to you. They say to them, these people are told that spend what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, regardless of the means of which you have attained this. قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, what do the people who reject say? لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to the people who believe. They say, if Allah wants, and they say, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ, and shall we feed those people that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have fed them. You know, why should we feed them? See the level of arrogance these people have reached. You know, they're questioning the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them something good for their benefit, and they are being heedless and being arrogant at the same time by questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to, you know, bring an example which is closer to our daily lives, and of course for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest of examples. You know, if a person, you know, for example in school, you know, if we should do something bad, the teacher say you have to write out, you know, the homework 10 times, write the, you know, page so and so 10 times or something. Now the reason why he's telling us to write this page out so many times is because that's it, he'll wipe out that thing we've done. You know, he'll forget about it, and that'll be the end of it. But if we don't do that, then there'll be further consequences. So if we do that, it's in our benefit. And if we don't, then we are wronging ourselves first and wronging the teacher. And similarly, these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them something for their benefit. And they are doing what? Rejecting and being arrogant. Naam. And of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala razaqakum Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the risk, the sustenance, it's a reminder to us, you know. Don't think we have to go to work 9 to 5 and get our money. Don't think, you know, that if we don't get our fancy degrees and, you know, have our you know, flash certificates, that we're not going to make any money. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes back from his slaves. And subhanAllah, similarly, another story, you were sitting in the presence of another sheikh in Medina. He told us a story about, he was talking about rizq, and he was talking about how people should have reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not upon the dunya, upon their money, upon their jobs. So he was talking about a person who was an illiterate person. He didn't know how to read and write. So he wandered the city, and he was looking for a job, and no one would offer him a job. Why? Because he can't read and write, you know. And so eventually he ended up going to the local. Obviously this is a story which is based in the Middle East, and it wasn't like, you know, I'm going to say the guy ended up becoming a rubbish bin man, so someone might turn and say, well, they get good money here. So obviously he wasn't in England. So he went to the local, you know, council, and he was looking for a job to become a cleaner of the streets. So when he ended up at the office, and the person said, fine, I'll give you the job, and, you know, here you go, here's your brush, dustbin and brush. He said, but there's one condition, you have to sign on these forms. But he said to him, look, I can't read and write. How am I going to sign? He goes, no, you have to sign on the forms. He said, if you don't sign the forms, you're not getting the job. To this extent, there's no job he could get, and he came to the last job he could possibly get, and he couldn't get it because he couldn't sign. So he left and he walked off, and he went home. Anyway, later on, he ended up getting a job just stacking shelves in a shop, and you know, the owner of the shop, he was impressed by this person, his character, and you know, he would leave him with the money for a short period of time, and he found him to be trustworthy. You know, he wouldn't steal the money, and he'd be Amin, which is from the most Christ of the Prophet ﷺ, to be Amin, trustworthy. So slowly he would leave him with more money, just to keep an eye, you know, to see how he, you know, behave, because he wanted to, you know, ideally retire, sit back and relax at home while the business is running and the money's coming in. So he found that this guy is very trustworthy, and he's, you know, he's praiseworthy and he wouldn't steal the money. So he was so impressed with him that he decided that, you know, he's going to marry his daughter to this person. He had the rizq start coming in, you know, the way, if you see the mu'amala he had, the behavior he had, and see how the mu'amala is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, you know, he's getting a wife. Now, can you imagine this day and age, if you don't have a house, you're not getting a wife. If you don't have a job, you're not getting a wife. You know, if you don't have X, Y, Z, you're not getting a wife. But look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him. When he, you know, behaved the way he should behave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with that, gave him. And, you know, so, the point of the story is not here. So what happened then was, you know, this person, he knew how to work the business and he got the hang of it. So he opened a few shops up, and the business grew and it grew, and obviously he became a very wealthy person. You know, from someone being poor and someone who couldn't get a job and make any money at all, he became really rich and wealthy. So one day a friend of his came up to him and he met him in the shop and he said, "Hang on a minute, what happened here? You know, you were poor and I was, you know, the educated one, and I was the one who should have been rich, but it's the opposite. So what has happened?" You know what he said to him? He said to him, "If I was able to read and write, I would have been a dustbin man." See, he said, "If I was able to read and write, I would have been a dustbin man." Mm. So that's the value of reading and writing, you know. Not in the literal sense, but that could be the value of reading and writing. So it's not the end. It's a means, but it's not necessarily reach these means through these, meet this end through these means. Another example, a famous example, is of one of the greatest shiukh of Damascus, or one of the greatest shiukh of, you know, this time, Sheikh Muhammad Saeed Ramadan al-Bouti. And he says, you know, my friends always used to say to me, "Look man, why on earth are you studying Sharia for?" He says, "Why on earth are you studying Sharia for?" And it's something me and Saiful Alam can relate to. So, you know, the Qadar friends will be looking at us saying, "Why aren't these guys, you know, studying for endless amounts of time? They're going to become, you know, mullahs in the mosques, and they're not going to get no good wages, and we're getting, you know, we're becoming doctors and lawyers." So his friends were like that. They say to him, you know, "Why aren't you studying sacred knowledge for, like, Islam, Sharia? You know, you're just going to be a cleaner of the amwat, of the dead people. You know, you're going to be a person who's going to clean the dead bodies. That's what your job's going to be." You know, and they became doctors and they became lawyers and engineers, but till this day they still look up to him, because subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much wealth that, you know, he doesn't know what to do with it, to the extent that he gets so much money that he gives it away. You know, he's had, every time he, every other month, or every, you know, he's getting award from the princes of Emirates. He gets a big paycheck, an award from, you know, the king of Jordan, and he gets a big paycheck. And even Sheikh Abdul Hakim was saying to us, he's saying, you know, he got a award from one of the princes of Jordan, and he got a, you know, healthy check with it as well. Who did? Subhanallah, see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, you know, because these people had their tawakkul and they had their reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas those people had their reliance upon the dunya, they had their reliance upon their jobs, you know. And other teachers that taught us in our institute, they just say to us, you know, our friends became lawyers and doctors, but they, you know, envy us for our lives. It's so laid back, and people, you know, they look up to us. And everybody needs a scholar, but not everybody necessarily needs a doctor, or not everybody necessarily needs an engineer. So this is from the karama, from the nobility of the high rank and status which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the people who seek the sacred knowledge. You know, so we should be grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing us here to the masjid. You know, and being able to take from the kunuz, from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, kalam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which is great. You know, alhamdulillah. I mean, I was telling the brothers right on the course we had on the weekend, you know, people came from all over the country. And not just the course, you know, the college is inundated with calls and emails from people all around the world just to study in Cayman Muslim College. But they're saying, look, we're not training people from abroad, this is just for people from the UK. But the people from the UK are zuhad, you know, they're just keeping themselves away, you know, and the people from abroad are dying to come, literally. So that's what it is sometimes, when you're so close to something, it becomes a hijab, it becomes a veil, that you can't see the value and the greatness of this thing, you know. But if a person, you know, the value of your parents, you know, today they're with us, but tomorrow they might not be with us. But, you know, when they're gone, then we will remember far more, and we'll remember them far more, and we will miss them far more. So that's why we should make up for those days that will come, and when we will be sorry. Why? Because these people are similarly being sorry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us of their sorrow now. In أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And so they are in clear misguidance, these people who are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being arrogant, you know, by making such a statement. And can you imagine someone making a statement, you know, on the level of the dunya, of the world? A person goes to a king, and the king has the money and the wealth, so he's telling you, you know, go and feed the people. And the person turns around and says, Why don't you go and feed these people? Why should I go? You know, but that wasn't the point. He was just testing him. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just testing these people. If he wants to feed them, he'll feed them. And if he wants to get rid of these people, he'll get rid of them. He didn't need to ask them. But he was testing them. But because they're so lost in their arrogance, they failed the test. And they will face the consequences. Naam.
I think we have
dragged on quite a lot, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting to go on so long. I was hoping to finish the page. But inshallah, I think we will stop there and continue. I was actually hoping to finish the page, but inshallah, we'll stop there and inshallah, we'll continue next week. And then maybe the week after, we're going to the. He's going to be talking. Next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the signs of the bounties and the benefits the people of Jannah receive for acting in the way they should act, and for the punishments. He will speak of the punishments of the people of the Hellfire for acting the way, you know, they were told not to. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
What about charity to non-Muslim organisations? What's your thought on that? I just wonder. Because sometimes, you know, like at work, we have, they take like the pennies out of like the wages for certain charities, like cancer research and so on. But these are like non-Muslim organisations, but, you know, obviously quite good causes. What are your thoughts on that?
See, one of the things Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu says from the greatest things of the from the good deeds that he has ever done or he could have ever done, you know, out of the ibadat and the siyam and the zakat and the hajj and everything else, from the things which are compulsory, he said, was doing khidmah of the khalq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do service to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of who they are or regardless of what they are, even not just you know, humans, but rather even animals, you know. And in regards to your question, you know, there's not a problem of giving money to non-Muslims. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them, you know, who's giving them their lives, who's giving them their wealth, you know. And you know, so there's no problem with giving non-Muslim causes. And of course, when you're talking like cancer research, when you're talking about children in need and things like this, there are Muslims who benefit from this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, when we give sadaqah, it's purification. For who? For us. And for who? For them. So from this sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could purify them and bring them back to the deen, or if they were Muslims, and bring them to the deen if they were not Muslims. You know. So sadaqah is a form of purification. Now, and I suppose another thing worth mentioning is, of course, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, you will not attain al-birr, the goodness, and goodness in all its forms, until you spend, until you spend that which is most beloved to you. You know, that which is most beloved to you. It's not about just giving something which is, you know, you think to yourself, oh, I don't need this, I'll give it to you, so and so. Of course, that's accepted and it's valid, but to receive higher ranks and higher stations and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in this way, when you spend, you know, it's like someone who's walking and someone who's running. The one who spends is like he's running to Jannah and he's running to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the distance is filled, you pass the distance far greater when you do these kind of actions. And from the greatest of example is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You know, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came and he said, you know, I've given half of my wealth, you know, no one's going to beat me. Sayyidina Abu Bakr is not going to beat me. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr came with everything he had, and the Prophet said, what did you leave for your family? He said, I left for my family Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, and similarly Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, you know, the amount of wealth he spent, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him in abundance, but he spent in abundance. And you know, when you spend in abundance and when you give, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your ranks, you know. And of course sadaqah sir, the sadaqah when it's hidden is better, far better than sadaqah which is in the open, because there will be no fear of a person being you know, proud or arrogant by giving someone money, you know. And Sayyidina Zain al-Abidin radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say to a person when he used to come and ask him for money, you know what he used to say? He says marhaban, he says welcome to the person who is allowing me to enter the Jannah even quicker, because he's basically asking him to do good deeds, you know. And that's why this is something which the Shaykh was mentioning in Medina, and also he was saying that a person, if someone comes to you and he's asking for money, you know, what should he do? So he said that, you know, you should always give something. If someone is coming to you, then you should always give him something. Always. Regardless. Unless you are, you know, 100% certain that, you know, he's not in need of the money, and he's just, you know. And he said, no, you should give. Because, you know, how bad would that be if someone came to you? You know, if someone came to us, and we're slaves like he is, you know, and we are in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like he is, and we reject it. You know,
in order to give money, you have to have the money.
Yes.
If someone doesn't understand that,
yes, my friend. See, there's two things here. Firstly, what do you mean by having money? You know, someone who has our teachers in our school, for example, what do they say to us? You know, we're all students. So our school used to give us like equivalent to £30 a month for expenses. And the teachers used to say to us, you know, don't think just because you're receiving money, you're poor and you don't have to give other people money. You know, because that's what some of the students you think, you know, we're receiving money, we're getting 30 quid a month, you know, so we're poor as well. No, that's not the case. If someone's going to be more poor than you, you might be getting 30 quid, or you might be getting £1, but someone's not getting anything. You know? So, what's considered to someone not having money and someone having money? And the other point is that one of our shayukh, he's so generous to the extent that when he never used to have money in his pocket, and people used to ask him for money, he would turn around to someone and borrow money of him and give money to this poor person. And not one, there could be 10 people one after another coming, he'll keep borrowing money and giving people. So what, you know, what can't you say that you're poor, you're not poor? You know what I mean? We might be poor to the extent we've got £1, but we still can give 50 pence. We can still give 1 pence, you know. I'm not saying you give them what they ask. I say you give them something. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, if they ask you for £50 and you haven't got £5 in your pocket, then of course. You, but I'm saying you give them something.
Yeah, but he wouldn't take anything.
You've done your job.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm saying.
You've done your job. And that's the main thing, the key thing, is that we do our part. You know?
Going back to the non-Muslim thing, so say, you know, like you have the homeless in the streets or something, and then the non-Muslim. Would you say it's the same situation? It doesn't matter if they're Muslim or not Muslim.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe go with the group.
Yeah, but I mean, coming back to what you were saying, yeah, on the streets, even in Cambridge, you find people that ask for money.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
What we used to do, it's common in all around the world. I mean, but you know, one of our teachers, he said to us that, you know, someone might come to you and say, you know, with an excuse to say, oh, I've got no money and I need to get to such a city, so give me the money.
Yeah.
So he used to say to us, what I'd do is, okay, I'll come with you and I'll buy you the ticket. Here you go. No? Oh, he'll say, come on, I'll take you to the shop and I'll buy you the meal.
Yeah.
You know? So that's one way of doing it. But when it comes to non-Muslim, it's us showing mercy to others. And through that mercy, we're being raised, and they potentially, you know, could be raised, you know. So it's all about mercy, you know. This is probably one of the key factors we were talking about today. And that's what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And you were not sent except for mercy to the whole of the universe. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I have not been sent except for as rahmat al muhdat, as a gifted mercy, you know. So, and if you want to go look at a prophetic example of this situation, you look at the example of the Prophet, you know, the Jewish woman that used to throw stones at him and, you know, rubbish and disrespect him. How did the Prophet react when one day he was going past and he didn't find this abuse? He went to knock on the door and said, you know, I was worried there was something might have happened to you. You might have been unwell.
To the Jewish guy.
Yeah. He said, you might have been unwell. So he showed his mercy. Then the mercy entered her heart and then she accepted Islam. So if we show mercy to the non-Muslims and we give them something, it will be insufficient to them, or, you know, insignificant to them and to us. You know, it might be just a pound. When we show mercy, we are giving mercy as well at the same time to this person. Then if it enters that person's heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could change his ways. And the Prophet said that, he said to Sayyidina Ali that for you to change a person and bring him from misguidance to guidance is better than the humr and na'am, and to another hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is better than what's in the better than the dunya and what's in it, everything. And humr and na'am was considered something like it was red camels, which is like, you know, equivalent to Ferraris now, you know, something precious to them in that time. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi saying, this is the value of what you are doing, you know. So if that person comes to Islam, what more do you want? No? Alhamdulillah.